You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That is T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
What's the word, my guy?
Man, nothing much, dog. Where can they find you? On the artist, formerly known as Twitter.
You can find me on _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. So we are at the midway point of the season in college football. And Kennedy Miller, you and I, we are both in education. And so we've had to put in midterm grades. Had to, you know, so folks know where folks stand and how they're doing. So I think it is nothing but appropriate that we do the same thing here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, are you ready to hand out some midterm grades?
I sure am.
You're ready to hand out some midterm grades, but I don't know if you're excited to do this one. We're going to start with your Dallas Cowboys, Kennedy Miller. They're 4-2. They're second in the NFC East, but they had a rough loss to the Niners a couple weeks back. Struggled to put the Chargers away. Have had some struggles in the red zone. So how you going to grade them, man?
I'm going to give them a B-. If you told me at the beginning of the year that we would be 4-2 going into the bye week, I would tell you that that's probably what I predicted. However, if you told me that the two losses would be to the Cardinals and then you got railroaded by the 49ers, I would probably have the same sentiment that I feel right now. All hope is not lost, but it is looking very grim. It is looking very, very grim. Now, the 49ers just lost to the Browns. The Eagles just lost. They lost to the Jets. But, Alex, I'm not going to lie to you. I was sick after that 49ers loss. I was. Shout out to Coach Ethan John. Coach Ethan John and I made a bet about the winner of the 49ers and the Cowboys game. I had to wear 49ers gear all week long.
Did you have to? Was it a jersey?
Oh, it was shirts. He bought me multiple shirts. And every day I had to take a picture, putting the one up.
Oh.
The one that wasn't my team that won. And this is how I posed. With his arm around me, him laughing. It was a very terrible week, Alex. And I don't think the 49ers are 32 points better than us. I don't think we're only 3 points better than the Chargers. I thought that Chargers game, it was disgusting to watch. Combined 20 penalties, Cowboys consistently shooting themselves in the foot, even though they were the better team. Like, and it almost felt like a must-win game for them. Going into the bye, like you're losing ground on Philly and San Francisco and Detroit. But our coach, I don't know. I don't know about Mike McCarthy. We could talk about Dak. And Dak is Dak, right? Like, I kind of know what I'm going to get out of Dak. But I feel like it's the coaching part of it that just holds us back, man. Like, I feel like a Kyle Shanahan effect is real. I think Brock Purdy is pretty good. I don't know how good he is without Kyle Shanahan, though, and those weapons that he's got in San Francisco.
I think that's a fair point, because a thought I had recently was Debo got hurt, Christian McCaffrey got hurt, and basically Brock Purdy looked like a pumpkin when they played the Browns. And, you know, the wildest thing about, and this is how you know how talented the 49ers are. They can put the fullback, split them out wide, and they can throw a slant to them. One, how many teams have a fullback? Two, how many people can split them out wide and throw a slant to them? You got Christian McCaffrey, your running back, who you can line up. You can split him out wide and have him run the full route tree. You can line your best receiver, Debo Samuel, up in the backfield and have him run the ball. You got Brandon Ayuk, who just, he feels like he's like one of the fastest men on earth, don't he?
Especially against us.
It felt like everybody was running wide open.
And it just looked like they were better coached, right? And it looked like we are pretending to be what they actually are, which is just a physical ball club. Like, they just gonna punch you in the mouth. Eagles the same way. And it just looked like we're like these like fake tough guys. Like, I'm thinking going in, like, it's three physical ball clubs. It's going to be some wars. Like, we see Philly twice. We saw San Francisco, obviously. But going in, I'm like, it's going to be some battles. because our defensive line and our O-line still supposed to, man, them dudes, even against the Chargers, like, we ain't really make no pressure until it was needed. Like, credit to Micah Parsons, you know, for getting the sack when it was needed. But, like, if we're not able to rush the passer, like, we're not able to get the lead early, and quarterbacks have to drop back and pass, and they, like, run the ball, like, we can be had. And the Cardinals did it. The 49ers, like you said, they had people running all over the field, like, wide open. And I don't know. And then you kind of touched on it, but, I mean, red zone problems. This Monday night game, I forgot Brandon Cooks was on the team. Like, I did. I forgot we signed Brandon Cooks until I saw before the game he had, like, 75 receiving yards for the year. Now, he had a pretty good game against the Chargers, but I don't know, man. Tony Pollard had a big play, but he doesn't look like the same explosion that he did last year before the injury. That 60-yard run, I think it was,
yeah.
He would have scored that last year. Like, he wouldn't have got caught from behind. He would have scored that. Feels like I'm nitpicking. But again, the two best teams in the NFL are in the NFC. And if you want to get to where you're going, you're going to have to go through them. And it can't be no soft way. And right now, they're more physical and they're better than us. So I give them B-.
Kennedy Miller, for 3 years, I have been telling you Mike McCarthy is nothing but Jason Garrett with a 40-inch waist. Probably 42.
I'm glad you put it that way. We can't put it like how we used to.
We can't. We got real jobs now. I've been saying this for 3 years now. This is who he is, in that when you play teams where the Cowboys have the decided talent advantage, they'll win those games handily. But when they play teams where the talent level is similar, or maybe their opponent has more talent and better coaching and better preparation and better attention to detail, that's where the whole thing falls apart. Did you hear this past offseason his rationale for firing Kellen Moore?
Tell the audience.
This man said his rationale for getting rid of Kellen Moore, he said, and I quote, "Kellen Moore was trying to light the damn scoreboard up. We need to run the ball and give our defense a rest." Never have I heard it be a negative on an offensive coordinator that they're trying to score as many points as possible. What on earth are you talking about? And do you see the offense now? It looks painfully difficult for them to move the ball. Painfully. And again, beginning of the year, I mentioned this. Why did Mike McCarthy end up out of Green Bay? Kennedy Miller.
Problems with Aaron Rodgers.
Problems with Aaron Rodgers, and the offense got stale.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like spoiled, years-old milk he putting out here.
Mm-hmm.
This bread got mold all over it. It's hard as a rock. Like, this offense does not look good. They get to the red zone, and they can't score. Three of their four wins were against bums. Like, we think the Patriots may be in the hunt for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Jets when Zach Wilson, that second week, Zach Wilson looked absolutely terrible. They played the Giants opening night. And sure, you can look like the 85 Bears against the New York Giants and Daniel Jones. Sure. But when they play a good team, and the Niners aren't just good, the Niners are great.
Yeah, best team in football right now.
Yeah, bar none, easily. Man, the Niners are such a great team. These white NFL owners put racism aside to hire a black man, D'Amico Ryans. You know how good you got to be to make them say, no. There was a line for a black man?
They are the best team in the league. And that's why, like, you know, I was looking forward to the game because, you know, I recognize I give credit where credit's due. And I wanted to see where we stacked up in that echelon. We're not there yet. Now, obviously, you know, as well as I, it's however you're playing come playoff time. It is however well you're playing come playoff time. And if you can hit the right stride, you can hit the right stride. But as for right now, it is 49ers and the Eagles and the Dolphins are in a tier up here. And then the Cowboys are in another tier.
Let's go to the Houston Texans, Kennedy Miller. Let's talk about the Texans. The Texans are 3-3. Going into the bye. What midterm grade are you going to give the Houston Texans?
Man, I want to give them like a B+. I'm really leaning towards an A-. But I like a B+. They're looking good. And again, if you would have told me at the start of the season, going into the bye week 7, the Texans will be 3-3. I'd be like, they're ahead of schedule, right? First year head coach, first year quarterback. C.J. Stroud looks like he can be that guy. that can be your franchise quarterback for 10 to 12 years. Their defense looks good. Their defense looks good. And then they've had quality wins. You know, like they beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is never a slouch. They're never a joke. Knocked off Jacksonville. Oh, they beat the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Saints on Sunday. So they've got some pretty solid wins. And really, honestly, you can make an argument they could be 4-2 with the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game came down to it. I like what they're doing. I like the young guys that they have. D'Amico Ryan's rooting for him. Everybody who knows me knows I'm not a Texans fan, but I like some of the guys. I love the picks that they did this year. And again, rooting for D'Amico Ryan's. So I would say that they're ahead of schedule. So I'm giving them B+.
You know how on this show for, I feel like the last year, we have been giving Dan Campbell like flowers, right? Giving Dan Campbell so much credit, especially after he first came into that first interview and he sounded like a cannibal.
Yep, biting kneecaps off.
Yeah, it was like, yo, and Eric Bieniemy didn't interview well, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you see how they play for Dan Campbell.
Yep.
Right? How hard they play. The attention to detail, the energy, the passion, you see it. Like, them dudes, look, they love to play for Dan Campbell. And I'm not going to lie to you, I feel a little bit of that when I watch the Texans playing for D'Amico. There is an energy around this team that hasn't been here even in the best of times, right? Like, there is a youthful energy, a youthful exuberance to this team, right? To where, like, it feels like something. It feels good. You know what I'm saying? To watch them, yes, you feel like these dudes are playing really hard. And then, you know, you got a rookie quarterback out there, and they've had a whole lot of musical chairs playing with the offensive line. A lot of dudes have been banged up, so they haven't really been able to run the football. But C.J. Stroud looks great. He looks great. Like, he looks like, again, a guy.
Yep.
And so, for me, I'm just like, what I can say, thoroughly impressed. Thoroughly impressed. And, you know, I would like to say this, Kennedy Miller, all these years we have known each other. We have for years talked about Texans and the Cowboys back when I was on the Texans, back when I was rocking with them hard. And I told you the last couple years I've been off. I couldn't take it no more. After everything with Freaky D, I was done. And can you blame me?
I can't. But I can't blame
Right now, I feel that they're tugging at my heartstrings, Kennedy Miller. They're tugging just a little bit. When they drafted C.J. Stroud and they drafted Will Anderson, I felt that little tug. Like I said, like in Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You know, when Helen started, after Helen beat up on Charles and threw him in that tub, hit that boy with, stop blowing those bubbles. Feed him.
Feed him.
Clothe him, they say.
Oh, man.
Side note, she tore that salad up with no dressing.
You starting to go back to church with the Texans?
Yes. We're going back to church. It's Cicely Tyson is like, well, baby, do you still love him?
Hey. Matter of fact, you, Brian, and his wife, and the Texans coming down the middle of the aisle singing. You about to bring her on home.
Hey, bro, you know what don't make no sense to me in that scene? How did Deborah just bust in the middle of the church and right at the perfect moment? She ain't been to rehearsal. She ain't nothing, bro.
If you think them New Faith ushers and Miss Thelma is going to let you just walk through the middle of the church, bro, you out of your mind.
Bro, I'm like, where the usher board? Where they at? She just strode on in there and singing hard. Don't make...
Hey, no mic, no nothing.
Nothing.
Everybody heard.
Just look, hey, look, that's what dope will do for you. Hey, that's what it'll do for you. And side note, Tyler Perry worked Cicely Tyson to death.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Worked her to death. And we'll never forgive him for that. What was that last movie? A Fall from Grace?
Oh, A Fall from Grace. Ashtray.
We're going to do our Tyler Perry rewatch at some point. We promised you guys Tyler Perry rewatches this summer. We didn't get to it. We're going to make that happen. I don't know how we got here. I really don't know. But nah, man. Oh, man. But for me, I'm going to give the Texans an A+. I'm going to give them an A+. Yeah. They got the next couple games, Carolina, Arizona. They got Denver, Cincinnati, Tampa. They can pull a couple out, man. They're going to win a game or two that they shouldn't. Like, they could be a five or I think they could maybe be a 6-7 win team this year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when they beat Pittsburgh and, you know, I was like looking, if they had beat Atlanta, they really wouldn't have had an 8. But yeah, I was kind of looking down their schedule just like you. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, they can win some of these games. Like, they can, they really do have a favorable schedule coming up. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. I'm interested to see how it plays out. And maybe they can end up fighting for, you know, one of those wild card spots.
We talked about a relationship that I got out of that, you know, I may be possibly going back to. Possibly, you know, we're seeing each other again, you know, record you for the children, but, you know, we're hanging out here and there. But a relationship I've been locked into, and it's been toxic for the last 15 years. It's been toxic. Yeah. It's been toxic for the both of us, Kennedy Miller. It's been really toxic. The Texas Longhorns, number 8 team in the country, they dropped a heartbreaker to OU. But all in all, Texas still has a shot, and I think probably will make the Big 12 championship game. Depending on how things shake out in the Big Ten, in the Pac-12, in the SEC, Texas may have a shot at the playoffs. So, Ken, what do you think?
A-. I wanted to go lower because I was so disappointed because I wanted them to win that game against Oklahoma. But considering everything, they are one of the top 10, top 7 best teams in college football. And they look good. They look good. Oklahoma, they outplayed them. They outplayed them on Saturday. Or that Saturday, but I think if Texas sees them again, they'll beat them. And I think the Big 12 is not that strong, so they do very well have a chance to make the Big 12 championship, have an argument to get in the college football playoff. And like you said, we'll see where the other teams stack up. But I think they've done a good job. Obviously, the Bama win was big, even though, you know, Bama isn't the Bama that we've known to be for the recent years. And I, you know, I looked at some of the games, like that Wyoming game, that Texas team a couple of years ago might not have won that game. You know what I mean?
They wouldn't have.
So you can tell they're turning the corner. You can tell that this is a different team than the Texas teams that we've seen for the last like 5 or 6 years that have always been talented, right? But will be known to drop a trap game, to not show up in the big games. So I'm very excited to see how they finish out the rest of the year, but I think so far they're A-.
I'm gonna give them a B+.
Yeah.
You know, because there are a few things that Texas hasn't done well, and my biggest thing is red zone. The troubles that they've had in the red zone, not just in the Oklahoma game, but in the Kansas game, in the Baylor game, in the Alabama game. Right? So like that's a problem for them. And to speak specifically about the Oklahoma game. So, Kennedy Miller, what if I told you a team only scored 2 offensive touchdowns? What if I told you a team turned the ball over 3 times? What if I told you a team had 3 trips to the red zone and only scored 3 points? What if I told you a team had 4 shots inside the 1-yard line and didn't score a touchdown?
Sheesh.
What if I told you that team also had its worst game defensively? The defensive line didn't show up, didn't have a great game. If I told you all those things happened in one game to one team, how bad do you think they would have lost?
20.
Texas did all of those things against Oklahoma. And they had the lead with a minute left.
Yep.
That is the worst they're probably going to play all year. You played your worst game of the season, and you had the lead with a minute left. That in and of itself, again, I'm not a moral victories type of person, but that is a metric, right? 98% of teams do 2 of those things. You're getting blown. Your doors are going to get blown off. They did all of those things and had the lead with a minute left. Texas is better than they have been the last couple years. And I think we have to give Steve Sarkisian a good measure of credit for that.
Oh, without question.
The player development has been extremely good. Developing that defensive line, Byron Murphy to Vondre Sweat. Right, the running.
Remember
backs.
Those 2 or 3 years? Sorry to cut you off. Remember those 2 or 3 years when they couldn't tackle
under like Tom Herman? I just had that bad memory from that 2019 LSU game. Oh my God! When Todd Orlando
blitz.
Called a casino blitz on 3rd and 19. Enjoy.
Dude, can you imagine how much that would have altered college football that year? Like, because LSU went undefeated.
Yeah.
And that was, what, the second game of the year?
Second, third, yeah. One of those, yeah.
Second, third game of the year. I thought about that like yesterday. I don't know why that game came in my head, but I really thought UT was going to pull that out. And they probably should have pulled that game out. You know, we remember Joe Burrow and that LSU team, you know, being so spectacular. But week two or week three, they almost went down. But I've gotten off my soapbox. Go ahead. Keep going. You're talking about the D-line and the running back.
No, the D-line has gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. The running back, Jonathan Brooks, everybody thought coming in it was going to be C.J. Baxter's show. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Brooks is like, nah. He, through seven games, Jonathan Brooks has more yards through seven games than Bijan did last year. Jonathan Brooks is toting that thing.
Yeah.
If they can figure out the red zone troubles, I think this team is going to be all right. Because, again, even on their worst day, you can almost be a top five team in the country. Mm-hmm. On your worst day. Like you said, if they see him again, I think Texas can win by 7 to 10 points. I think, like Oklahoma, I think pulled out all the stops in that ballgame.
They did.
They pulled out all the stops in that ballgame. You can tell they wanted that one bad after getting humiliated the year before. I think Texas's measuring stick game was the Alabama game, and Texas was excellent. Texas came into this one, they didn't have that same fight, they didn't have that same intensity, which is, again, part of my, you know, has been my question about this team. Can you keep that level of intensity up? And I heard a coach one time, he said, after a big loss like this, you find out what kind of team that you have. So the second half of the year, we're going to find out what kind of team Texas has. You know, I think everything's still in front of them. Great shot to make the playoff. You know who doesn't have a good shot to make the playoff?
Who's that?
Them folks in College Station. And boy, are they sad about it. Boy, are they sad. They are sad. Yeah. Texas A&M is 4-3.
F.
And F is for fire Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how could it not be an F, right? Like, is he not the highest paid coach in college football?
He is.
Highest paid coach in college football. What are the expectations, right, that they put on themselves, that they should be a perennial powerhouse, right? Because you got 3 good years of Johnny Manziel. So they expect to be a powerhouse. And, I mean, if you look at the recruiting, they're always one of the top in the nation in recruiting. So it's not the talent. So when you factor all that in, you got the highest paid coach, you got the talent, you're 4-3. One of them, you lost to the U, you were up double digits. It's an F for me, man. It's an F. And Jimbo Fisher needs to be fired. And that buyout is crazy.
Yo, I got a question for them, man. For A&M folks. Why'd you fire Kevin Sumlin?
Right.
Right. You fired Kevin Sumlin because 8-5 wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Kevin Sumlin, through 67 games, was 45-22, 13-12 versus the top 25. Jimbo Fisher is 43-24. Jimbo Fisher's 2 games worse and is 10-14 versus the top 25. So you fired Kevin Sumlin, are paying about double the money for the next coach. Jimbo Fisher has a better roster than Kevin Sumlin had. They had Mike Evans, Manziel, and they had those handful of offensive linemen that went in the first round. Mm-hmm. These rosters that Jimbo Fisher has had these last 2 years, just in terms of pure talent, in terms of 4- and 5-star talent, are better than any roster Kevin Sumlin ever assembled, and you've been worse. This Texas A&M team, by the blue chip ratio, so that is teams that have more 4- and 5-stars on the roster. 73% of A&M's roster is a 4- or 5-star recruit, and they are 4-3. A&M has a great defense. They lead the nation in tackles for loss, top 10 in yards per play allowed, and they can't get it done. They hired that human resources menace. They hired Bobby Petrino to get this stuff figured out on offense, and the offense don't look no better. And here's the other thing they really going to have to think about, because I've heard people say they're going to have to find the money to fire him because they gave him a contract that they couldn't afford to buy him out of and that no one else could really afford to buy him out of for no real reason. Like, there was no one knocking down the door to hire Jimbo Fisher. Like, there wasn't a line of people. This isn't like we're talking about Lincoln Riley here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to have to make, his buyout is like $77 million, but what it's going to end up being, this is going to be a $100 million decision, because they're going to have to buy him out of $77 million, and they're going to have to pay 19 of that 77 within the first 60 days. And then they got to pay the other $58 million over 8 years.
Yep.
You got to pay that money You got to buy out his staff, and then you got to buy out whatever coach you're going to hire to replace Jimbo.
Exactly.
In that new staff, this is going to end up costing them $100 million. Legitimate, like over the course of this, they're going to be paying two coaches for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why they really going to find this money? Texas.
Why? Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this. Who do you feel, what program do you feel more confident in over the next 4 or 5 years? Texas or Texas A&M?
Texas A&M is giving me no indication to feel confident about them moving forward. Texas, on the other hand, just knocked off Bama. What, ranked number 8 in the country right now?
Yep.
And 5-1, it's obviously Texas going forward. Then, I mean, like, not even talking about, like, you got Arch Manning, like, waiting, sitting in the wings, waiting. I'm completely off the Texas A&M hype train. I don't see it. I don't see it getting better anytime soon.
And that feels crazy to say that Texas is in a better place than Texas A&M. That would have been a nutty thing to say 18 months ago, given Texas was coming off of 5-7. A&M had just brought in the number one recruiting class, beat Alabama the year before, all of that. And this has all gone downhill real, real quick. And tell me this. I got a theory to run by you, Cam.
Okay.
I think the worst thing that ever happened to Texas A&M, football and the fan base and everybody else, the power brokers, was Johnny Manziel.
False sense of who they really are, right, outside of Johnny Manziel.
You know the last time A&M won a national championship?
I don't.
1939. My grandparents were like 3 and 4 years old. And let's be honest, do we really count national championships pre-integration? Like, how much should we really, like, weigh these?
Right, right. When's the last time they've been close again?
In the 80s, but they was paying them boys. You know, if you're going to get 85 dudes good enough to win a major conference, you got to pay. In College Station, they willing to pay.
Yeah. At Johnny Manziel, like, and then, you know, it was their first years in the SEC, so they just feel like they're about to do this and do that. And no, that was a rarity, and it happened. And now you're stuck with the reality of who you really are.
And here's the worst part. Texas A&M, these last, 10 years that Texas has been down, this has been really like an upswing for them, right?
Yep.
Because Texas and Texas A&M, throughout their entire history, have never both been good at the same time. The upswing for Texas A&M. You know how many times they won 10 games during this whole period Texas was down?
How many?
One time. The Johnny Manziel 2012 year. Once. Texas has, during this period, has as many New Year's Six bowl game victories, I believe, as Texas A&M has. Well, excuse me. A&M has 2 New Year's Six bowl game victories. Texas has 1. Like, you've probably had better on the field teams, all of that, but your results have really kind of been the same. And Texas is on his 3rd coach in 10 years.
Yep.
To move on to Colorado, Deion Sanders, 8 toes himself. Took you a second to get that one, huh?
Man, I forgot they chopped off 2 of Deion's toes, man.
Remember what Shannon Sharp said?
Boosie, man, don't chop his toes off, dog. Don't chop his toes off, dog.
Hey, you remember what Shannon Sharp said? Man, you 8 toes down. You stay 8 toes down for me.
Oh, yeah. Colorado, B-. B-. Totality, right? They only won 1 game. Worst team in Power 5 football last year. You know, obviously, they had some pretty good wins. Knocked off TCU. Obviously, TCU isn't what they were last year. By any stretch. Beat Colorado State. Beat, was it Arizona State they knocked off?
Yep. Beat Arizona State.
Beat Arizona State. You know, again, another one that you win the last one, that puts you in a B+. That puts you in a B+ range. B+, A-, because, I mean, honestly, nobody expected them to beat Oregon or USC, right? But that Stanford game, you should have won. The Stanford game is not a good look, and that honestly might put you from being bowl eligible, especially looking down the rest of their schedule. You're 29-0, man. And like, I was sitting in like a restaurant, like kind of watching it, you know, on the TV. And I'm like, you know, they got it. It's halftime, 29-0. I turn and look at the TV, 97-yard touchdown. Oh, wow. Stafford got a big play. I'm talking. I turn and look at the TV again. What, 70-something yard touchdown. I said, wait a minute. This ain't looking too good. And it's almost like I'll never forget that Texans Chiefs playoff game. Sorry, Alan. When the Texans got up so quick, and I was like, nah, there ain't no way.
Are they really about to do this?
There ain't no way. Like, they were scoring back to back. They were just scoring all type of ways. And I was like, it's a long game that's left. And all it took was one mistake. That changed it.
That, oh my God. Bill O'Brien really called a fake punt on like his 25 yard line. He really did. Oh my God. He doesn't deserve to see heaven for that.
And, you know, like, I get home and I see the game is tied and it's going into overtime. And I'm like, man, you can't lose to, they were 1-4 at that point. Yeah. Stanford won. Can't lose to 1-4 Stanford, man. And, you know, that's not a good loss. And like I said, if they don't make a bowl, you kind of look back to that one as like, that should have been our fifth win right there.
If I'm honest, I still have to give them an A. Do you remember a few weeks?
Right.
Remember a few weeks back when I said, even if they don't, when they started off 3-0, when I said, even if they don't win another game, this has already been a successful season because you've tripled your win total already. Like, they were the worst team in Power 5 last year. You brought in 80-odd new players. And again, I was one who didn't think this was going to work, especially in year one. I just didn't. It's too many people you're bringing in, not enough continuity there, and they're making this somehow happen. Because if we're honest about it, now that, you know, a lot of the hoopla has faded, a lot of the stands, some of the, you know, fly-by-nighters are kind of out now, we can actually talk about the football of this. And the football of it is, they don't have a lot of good players.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you know they don't have a lot of good players?
How?
Your best wide receiver is your best defensive back.
Yeah.
Even if that dude appears to be like the second coming of Deion or Charles Woodson or Champ Bailey himself. Travis Hunter's that good. But you are that thin on your roster to where that dude has to play 100-odd snaps a game. I'm not speaking to the fact that can he or can he not do it, but it's the fact that he has to do this for you to have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away him and Shadur off this roster, this might be a one-win team.
Mm-hmm.
If we're keeping it funky. Because defensively, they're bad. They've given up 40 points in 5 of the 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably a couple plays away. And I mean a couple in like 3 of those wins against TCU, against Arizona State, and against Colorado State from losing those games. You know, so the margins for a team like this is really so slim. But I still have to give them boatloads of credit. I have to give Deion boatloads of credit because, again, I did not think they would even be remotely watchable. And what they are at this point is maybe a below average to average college football team, which is a big, huge improvement from what they were last year. They've got to get the thing in the trenches figured out. And again, that's a next year thing. But overall, even if they don't make it to a bowl game, if they don't win another game this year, if they just finish out 5-7, because again, the UCLA game, Oregon State, Arizona, who's played really, really hard and really, really tough, Utah and Washington State, those are going to be 5 tough ones. Like, those are going to be 5 tough ones. The Utah game, like, these are going to be tough ones, tough games for them to win, especially with the lack of depth and the size disparities that they have on the defensive line and the lack of skill that they have on the offensive line. They really just got 5 fat guys in front of Shadur. I'm going to be honest with you. He's fighting for his life out there.
Yeah, he is. Man, I mean, I totally agree with you. The totality of it, considering how bad they were last year, to do this with all those transfers from new teams is very impressive. And, you know, they've already quadrupled now their win total. I forgot about the Nebraska game. They've already quadrupled now their win total. So, you know, we'll see how it pans out. If they can steal one, you know, from one of these teams, that'll be super big for them. And you know that recruits are calling them at this point. Like, they not even having to call anybody. Like, recruits are calling them trying to join what's going on over there. So should be setting them up better for next year. But yeah, I think I'm gonna change mine too. I think I'm gonna change mine to A-. I think you just convinced me.
You grading on the curve now?
We had an after school meeting. I gave him a curve.
Was this when the football coach goes to the English teacher that gave the kid an F because he didn't do no work? And yeah. The teacher is talked into giving this kid a 70.1?
Man, speaking of that really quick, I didn't know how much it was. I didn't know how much work it was to fail these kids. Because first report goes, I wanted to fail about 35 of them. And so a lady came up to me, Miss Rhodes. She's like, you know, coach, it's a lot of paperwork you got to do to fail the kids. I said, paperwork? What you mean? I said, well, first you got to notify the parents. You got to fill out paperwork. And if they have some disabilities or accommodations, you have to fill out more form. I said, well, I'll just call them to my desk then. You got till Friday to finish all this work. And I need it done. And they getting them 70.1s. I almost made a speech the other day. If you got a C in my class, that means you're failing. If you got a C in a coach's history class, that means you are failing.
Hey, man, see, I've been telling you, Ken, you need to go Morgan Freeman on those kids. You need to go in there, Ken, hit your hand on the table. We are in a state of emergency.
I have not empathized more with the movie character than Morgan Freeman and Lean On Me when he went in there and said that they are failing to pass the basic minimum skills test.
That means they can hardly read.
Because these kids can hardly read. I don't want to get into too much on this podcast because I love my job. So we could just go to the next one. But me and you can talk.
Smoking crack and skipping school, Mr. Sams, it was no mistake.
You're going to see me on the news because I had a kid on the roof. Ninth grade campus.
Jump. Don't f*** around with it. Jump. You're killing your brain cells, son. You're killing your brain cells. Do it expeditiously.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know who people thought was in a state of emergency?
Talk to me.
The Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, good one.
You like how I swung that one?
I did.
After dropping the game to Texas, Alabama mm-hmm. has won five straight. They haven't lost a ball game since. So, for me, I'm thinking of this Alabama team, man. And this is, it's weird. It's a weird thing to think. This is the worst Alabama team maybe in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most vulnerable Alabama team in a decade. And it's really
right.
The quarterback position. And the thing about it is Jalen Milroe at this point, I think, is being poorly coached. Because there are throws, like, I don't know how he can throw the ball 50 yards down the field on a rope and drop it right in a guy's chest. But rolling to his right, got a wide open man, 12 yards away, airmails it, dirts it, slips out of his hand. And I'm like, Lord have mercy, God, what is happening? But they're still really good on defense. Chris Braswell and Dallas Turner on the edges. So they're forcing turnovers, giving Jalen Milroe a short field. They got some problems on the O-line. Their offensive line, I don't think, is very good. It is not very good. I don't know how much of the Arkansas game that you saw last week, they were in Jalen Milroe's lap the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
The whole night. But long term, I think it is a wild thing to think about. This is how good Alabama is. The worst Alabama team in probably a decade. And they're going to win the SEC West.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's keep it funky. Looking at the rest of the schedule, who gonna beat them? Do you trust LSU at this point?
No.
What about Kentucky?
No.
Then they're playing, you know, the last game before the Iron Bowl. They always play some, you know, Townsend or Mercer. And then they've got Auburn.
And the better Texas does, the better that loss looks. Right? Like, it was one thing losing to Texas 3-4 years ago that's going 5-7 or underachieving. But this Texas team goes and wins a Big 12 championship, and then you look at Alabama's like strength of schedule, and you look, oh, we lost to Texas at home, but that's the only loss that we have to another top five team in the country. It doesn't look so bad anymore.
And I want to see what Georgia looks like
mm-hmm.
without Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is having tightrope surgery.
Yeah.
Georgia, second most talented team in America. And again, Georgia's schedule, they should win the rest of these games. But Georgia's been having troubles with slow starts, being kind of lethargic, still trying to figure their offense out. Without their best player on offense, can Carson Beck and them dudes figure it out? Who's Carson Beck's number one go-to receiver? And this is one of those years in college football where it all feels wide open.
Yep.
Like, if there was ever a year for a 12-team playoff, man, this would have been the year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But, man, we're going to wrap this thing up with a couple of game picks. We're just going to do two. Your Dallas Cowboys versus the LA Rams.
I got the Dallas Cowboys winning. I was upset earlier. I think I'm back on the bandwagon now. 4-2, going into the bye. We're going to clean some stuff up. Tyron Smith, you just lay on the training table all week. Don't do a thing, okay? We're going to make sure that we're healthy. We're going to make sure that we're ready to go. We're more prepared. And we're going to be able to handle our red zone problems. Going to maintain Aaron Donald. We're going to give Matt Stafford some problems. I got the Cowboys winning in L.A. because, you know, Cowboys fans travel well. That Chargers game seemed like it was a neutral game.
Ain't but 10 Chargers fans in America. And that one, you saw that. I know you saw that one woman.
She was losing her mind. But, yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to win. I don't think the Rams are what they were 2-3 years ago, obviously. But they're not a bad football team. I just think the Cowboys are more talented and should prevail.
You know who you sound like after you just went the first part of the show running them down?
I did.
You look like that Kevin James meme, you know, where it's like after last week we got our butts kicked. And yes, you got to do the smile too. Yeah, look, there you are. You right back on the ship. You right back there, kid. Look, that's the one. You can't get that size 44 belt. You can't take it off your elbow.
It's like we're right there. Like, can we get over the hump? Can we get over the hump? Please, I'm begging. At this point,
here's what I don't understand, though, Ken. There's never been a big payoff for you with this team, right?
I know,
but here's what I'm saying. With Texas, we've both had the big payoff. We've both had like that big, like championship, national championship game appearances, Rose Bowls, Sugar Bowls, like Fiesta Bowls. We've had that feeling, right? With the Texas Longhorns, we both are like, man, I just want to recapture that feeling again. Oh, man. What are the Cowboys giving you other than disgust and heartache and frustration? 3 years ago, 4 years ago on this show, Kennedy Miller, we still have the tape. It's still up on the RSS feed. People can scroll down and find it. When you went on a tear about if they don't fire Jason Garrett and how the Cowboys ain't great when they got to be great.
That is true. And it was evident on that Sunday against the 49ers.
But you're
I don't know how much longer I keep doing this. I don't know. But damn it, I'm going to hold on as long as possible.
What is it going to take, Ken? Are they going to have to Charles McCarty up out of the house? Are they going to have to drag you out? Are they going to have to come in there and somebody else going to walk in there? What is she doing wearing my dress? Is that what it's going to take? Two boys. They need me.
It might, man. I mean, seriously, like this kills me. Like I was literally most of the time regular season games. I'm just chilling, you know. But these last two, I was sick, and then this Charger game, I was like sitting on the edge of my seat, like if these dudes choke this game, I'm gonna lose my mind. And like it was like a very big sigh of relief when we got the sack and then we got the interception. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, the Chargers on a Monday night. Should not have been this difficult. Should not have been. But of course, with the Cowboys, everything is.
And you're going to stay locked in. You're going to stay going. Going to the dope man, getting your 20 rock. So you can do your, you can go home. You can do your thing. For 16 Sundays from September to January, this is what you do. This is what you've chosen. And I can't really talk that bad about you because, again, I just got out of a bad relationship a couple years ago. And I'm considering going back after a couple weeks. I'm considering. I said, I'm considering.
You just don't want to bring him back around the kids too soon to have him confused.
Mama's going out for coffee. Can't get nobody's hopes up. You ain't told your mama, ain't told your friends or nothing. He's like, and then you show up, and then they show up back at the birthday dinner.
You back with him, ain't you? I knew you'd go back.
And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my man, appreciate you for hanging out. Where can the folks find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that, man?
_KennedyMiller_ Again, that's _KennedyMiller_
All right, all right. You can find me on The Artist, formerly known as Twitter, at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter, or The Artist, formerly known as Twitter, at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Texans, S as in Sarkisian, like Steve Sarkisian, the coach of the Texas Longhorns, and M as in mother. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will see you guys next time.